Money FM 89.3, best of prime time.
This is Prime Time on Money FM 89.3. I'm Rachel Kelly. Now, this time last week, the giant container ship that made headlines across the globe for blocking a key trade channel was freed. But while things, including the Ever Given, may be moving again, the fallout continues and questions remain. Where will costs be channeled? And how can an event such as this be prevented? Well, Anne Coe is an Asia energy reporter at Bloomberg News, and she's been monitoring this story closely, and she joins us now for an update on the aftermath of the blockage. Anne, thank you so much for joining us today.
Hi, Rachel. Glad to be on.
Good to have you with us. So Anne, in a recent Bloomberg article, it stated that the Suez Canal got blocked last week. And one of the reasons for that is because container ships are getting too big. But going forward, the next few generations of cargo vessels are going to make the Ever Given look like a bath toy. I think that's how one of your colleagues put it. So how big are we talking, and why the push towards bigger boats?
Yes, so the entire incident lasted about 6 days, which ended around last Monday. Mm-hmm. That's when the Ever Given was finally freed from the canal. And it's interesting that you point out the ship was a very large ship, because she wasn't just a normal container ship. She basically was large enough to carry more than 20,000 container boxes.
Wow.
And which makes her, you know, quite massive in terms of the entire container fleet. She's one of the bigger vessels. Basically, what happened was, when the incident happened, we have to talk a bit about the Suez Canal at this point. Mm. The Suez Canal is probably one of the better known and more famous waterways that a lot of trade goes through. So about 12% of world trade goes through that canal. And if we look at the cross-section of the Suez Canal, the water is about 24 meters deep right in the center of the canal. But she's also not a rectangular canal, meaning that, like, often when we kind of look around Singapore, when the government creates canals, they're usually kind of nice and boxy, and mm-hmm. they have a straight, you know, a straight wall all the way down. But you have to think about the Suez Canal a bit more like when you're ordering ice cream at the shop and the server uses a scoop. And mm-hmm. and so basically, she's a bit of a U-shaped cross-section, meaning that the water is deepest right in the middle. So when you scoop out the ice cream, it's deepest at the middle, right? And at the sides, she's shallower. What happens is, with the Ever Given, where you have an extremely large container ship who's veered off the course, the ship basically didn't stay right dead center in the middle of this canal. So that was one of the issues. That was actually quite a major factor in why she eventually got stuck.
I mean, that's a really interesting analogy, Anne. I hadn't thought of that at all. Ice cream. Now, when we look at the reasons for the blockage, was it just size, though? Because there have been reports of gusty wind, and this isn't the first time that the Ever Given has gone down the Suez Canal.
No, I would think that the Suez Canal, because it's such a major waterway that a lot of Asian exporters send goods over through to Europe, for example, and about 12% of world trade goes through this Suez Canal. So definitely it's a canal that the Ever Given transited through before.
There may be another factor at play there, not just the size of the boat.
Well, on the day that the incident took place, what we were reporting was that there were actually winds that reached a speed of about 65 kilometers per hour. That's about 40 miles per hour. And because Egypt's Sinai Desert, you know, basically there are a lot of these sand storms that happen. So sand gets blown over and you have very gusty winds. So there's a lot of sand that was affecting visibility on the day itself. That and the fact that the ship was actually traveling at a speed that was maybe about 40% higher than the speed limit at that point in the canal.
I see. So multiple factors there, the size of the boat, the wind and the speed, I guess you could say, created a perfect storm for this incident to take place, pardon the pun. And let's just go back to size a minute, Anne, because you mentioned that boats are getting bigger, and it seems in this case that bigger isn't always better. So what kind of shift are we seeing in the overall shipping industry when it comes to the size of the vessel, and why?
Yes, I think you're making quite a good point in that, in terms of size, the newer container vessels that are being ordered are even bigger than the Ever Given. Mm. So just a bit of context, and maybe that might also explain why it took 6 days to get her out of the canal. her meaning they ever given. Basically, back in the 1960s, it was more common for container ships to be a bit smaller and carry maybe 1,000 to 2,000 container boxes, which meant that the length of the ship might have been something closer to 100 meters or 150 meters long. And things really started heating up in the 2000s when I think Maersk took on delivery of a very large container ship for that time, which was about 15,000 container boxes. And so by the 2000s, it became far more common to get ships that had a length of about 350 to 400 meters. And the Ever Given in herself is about 400 meters long, which is quite massive if you consider that the Suez Canal is just slightly half of that length, around 200 to 260 meters across. So you can imagine when she gets firmly jammed lengthwise. It wasn't even that she got jammed at a right angle. She's so long that it's longer than the length of the canal. And the newer ships are even bigger than that. So we have basically shipyards in China and Korea targeting ship sizes that can carry 23,000 container boxes, 24,000 container boxes, because at this point, the trend seems to be to build bigger ships.
And what's driving this trend? I mean, competition, I'm assuming economies of scale now, as we're seeing more items offered online. What's the driving factor here?
Actually, I think it's quite interesting you're bringing up online shopping, because certainly post-pandemic, when everybody has been at home and, you know, mobility hasn't been so high, there has been an increase in online shopping. So we have actually seen container freight rates rise because of that surge in online demand. Also, I just want to bring you back to why these companies might be ordering these ships. And orders take place years before the ships actually arrive on the market. It takes anywhere between 2 to 5 years for a ship to be built and then delivered to the owner. I think a lot of it comes down to the fact that it would cost less per container box if you had a ship that can carry large volumes. And in terms of fuel costs, that also means that instead of using three ships to ship over 20,000 containers, you can just do it on one ship. So logistically, it's supposed to tap on very, very large economies of scale and lower the cost per box for the shipping companies.
We're speaking with Anne Koh, Asia Energy Reporter at Bloomberg News. So Anne, while the Ever Given has been freed, as one analyst put it, it's not a cork out of a bottle moment. Delays continue. How long could we see this impact to global trade? And we have seen some estimates as well when it comes to cost. What kind of cost are we looking at for this incident?
Well, the good news is that quite rapidly after the Ever Given was removed from the canal, traffic has resumed, meaning there were a lot of ships, about more than 400 ships waiting in total to transit through the Suez Canal. And the information that we are receiving from the Egyptian authorities is that most of that queue has been cleared at this point in time. So just primarily on the blockage, that seems to have eased up and all the ships have been asked to go on their merry way, as it were. The cost and the impact of what happens next is a little bit more interesting, perhaps. One way to look at it is to think about what the ship repairs might actually cost. So just as a kind of frame of reference, for a ship similar to the Ever Given, that would probably cost somewhere around $150 million, brand new. And it's likely that a vessel would have been insured for $100 to $200 million to cover damages. The salvage work required, because they had to bring in specialists from a company, they had to hire a Dutch salvage company called Smit, and another salvage company, Nippon Salvage, from Japan, also joined the efforts along with the Egyptian Suez Canal Authority and local workers. So there's the bill for the salvage efforts, which could come up to tens of millions of dollars. One of the Bloomberg intelligence analysts also mentioned that there would probably be claims coming in for disruption to business in terms of maybe cargo claims for some perishable cargoes that didn't make it by waiting there. Just roughly, because these numbers are more like an indicator rather than the actual, it's possible that the industry would see costs in the hundreds of millions of dollars resulting from this.
Whew, with such a hefty price tag. And what measures do you think we're likely to see put in place to prevent such an event from taking place again?
Yeah, it's interesting that you bring up the word hefty, because Right now, the Egyptian authorities have said that they will carry out a thorough investigation of how this occurred and what happened. The ship owner is also carrying out its own investigation, which will involve interviewing the crew, meaning the captain and the rest of the ship crew on board, as well as the two local Egyptian pilots. That means there were two navigational guides on board the ship as well, which are appointed by the Suez Canal to come on board ships when they travel through the canal to provide instructions. So the outcome of that is still underway. And some analysts have noted that perhaps it might mean that we see maybe speed limits being better enforced in the Suez Canal or in other waterways as a result of this. We'll have to kind of watch to see what the investigations show was the cause of the incident. And, you know, the shipping industry will then, I suppose, take its cue from that and will start putting in measures. When it comes to the size of ships, however, I don't see a trend of container ships becoming any smaller because of the incident. Like, just to reemphasize the point, the Ever Given's length was about 400 meters, and which is, I mean, if you think about it, right, Singapore's tallest HDB, which is Pinnacle Duxton, is probably only about 160 meters. Yeah, and the Suez Canal is like slightly over 250 meters or even 200 meters in some places. And you have these massive ships, which are at least 400 meters long or up. Ooh. And I think a Chinese shipyard has actually registered designs for 25,000 container boxes. So that direction is still moving up. And we will have to see what measures are put in place to navigate and sail these ships safely so that both the ship and the cargo and the crew arrive safely.
Well, Anne, thanks for your updates with us. Shocking when you put it in context like that in terms of comparing it to the size of the Pinnacle at Duxton.
Thank you very much. A pleasure.
Thank you. We've been speaking with Anne Coe, Asia Energy Reporter at Bloomberg, right here on Money FM 89.3.
To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at MoneyFM89.3.sg or download the SPH radio app available on Google Play or the App Store.